Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and with us today is Stan Kaczmarzyk, Acting Associate Administrator for the Office of Government-Wide Policy at GSA. Also joining us from IBM is Paul Kayada. Stan, GSA has long been a strong advocate for increasing the practice of telework across government. Also, GSA is known for leading by example, and I understand that you're in your second year of an aggressive agency-wide initiative to increase teleworking. Tell us a little bit about GSA's telework challenge. What is it? How is it progressing? And what's making it work? And what can other agencies learn from this effort?
I'd be happy to talk about the GSA Telework Challenge. It's a GSA agency program to increase telework participation in our agency. In OGP, we have a role in coordination with OPM to provide guidance for government-wide telework programs. This is an internal program, but we partnered very, very strongly with our internal folks because we were interested in practice, having GSA practice what we preach, at least from a government-wide standpoint, and to really get telework up to speed in the federal government. Plus, I was making a lot of presentations on telework, and I got tired of talking about the Patent and Trademark Office and the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration case studies all the time. And I said, we need another case study. Let's do it ourselves. So we came up with a very aggressive program where we were going to we set some goals, and we wanted to increase the number of people participating in telework who were eligible, whose positions are eligible for telework. And at the time we started in 2007, our participation rate of our eligible folks was about 10%. So we set some aggressive targets, and we said by the end of calendar year 2008, we want to have 20% people of our folks participating. By the end of calendar year 2009, double that to 40%. And then by the end of calendar year 2010, or 2010, 50% of those people who are eligible to participate in the telework program will be teleworking at least one day a week. Currently, when we're sitting here in calendar 09, the number is 43%. So we have well exceeded and almost closed the gap on our ultimate goal for the end of 2010. I think the keys to our success in this area were top-level leadership and support, which is not just talking about it, but putting it right into our performance plans, using a strategy that a colleague of mine in the British government calls name and shame. Every month we report on our intranet the progress that the various staff offices and regions are making towards the goal, so you can see who's on track, who's behind. That was very effective. Another thing we did was used IT effectively to promote this. And by that I mean we replaced everybody's laptops during the normal IT refresh cycle with everybody's desktops, rather, with laptops. And if you participate in the program, you have a docking station, you take the laptop home with you and use the same laptop. So that takes care of, economics. You don't have to pay for two computers. It takes care of security. It's the same security is in place at home because it's the same laptop and you're going into your system or your LAN over the internet using a virtual private network. So it solved a lot of problems. And I was kind of worried that people wouldn't want to take their laptop back and forth, but it didn't turn out that way. They're making them lighter and lighter these days. I don't have to tell you guys that. And the cost has come down. So it's been a very effective program. We've been promoting it for reasons of, it's good for the environment. It's good, especially in the Washington area, to reduce traffic congestion. It's flexibility, continuity of operations. The more people that can telework will be able to telework in the event that people cannot get downtown or get to the GSA building or something happens there. And it's a good work-life balance program, and people like it. Down the road, if we get to 50%, 60%, 70%, who knows where, I think we can actually do some stuff in our workplace to make it more effective or even to reduce our space holdings and reap some other economic benefits from it. So it's been a very successful program for GSA.
That's a real progress in an area I think that will have great dividends. And Stan, can you tell us a bit about how your office collaborates with federal, state, local governments on policy development and implementation? And to what extent do interagency working groups assist you in those efforts?
We do quite a bit of that. In all of our program areas, our major program areas, we generally have some kind of executive steering committee set up with agency executives from across the government to develop policy in a collaborative fashion with them. Less so with the state and local governments, but that ties back to the resource challenge I said before, but we need to do more with them. We do a pretty good job keeping track with the private sector as far as what are the best practices are. But as we know, some best practices that work for the private sector may not work for the federal government. But we definitely do a good job with collaboration with the federal agencies because it's a lot easier if you get buy-in early on in the policy development process. It's a lot easier for the agencies to comply with them down the road.
In your opinion, what have been some of the more innovative ideas and constructive solutions that you and your team have developed and implemented? And how does the OGP cultivate a culture of innovation and performance?
Well, you always get in trouble here when you talk about the successes you're the most proud of. And I got 5 staff offices, and I don't know if I'm going to cover them all, but I just have a sampling of some of them. But some of the major conferences that we managed, the ERMCO conference and also the Fed Fleet conference, we actually stood up the first version of the website, which is today USA.gov, which is now operated by the Office of Citizen Services and GSA. We tend to develop a lot of things up front that then get spun off into an operational area. On the HSPD-12 initiative, the smart cards, we did all of the upfront work on developing the standards and testing the products for compliance with the standards, and then helped the Federal Acquisition Service set up a managed service offering so they could actually provide the cards to federal agencies. In the area of the federal fleet, we talked about already, but the federal fleet is operated by the Federal Acquisition Service, but we do all the policy for fleet management, and that goes back to that Fed Fleet Conference. E-travel initiative is also managed now by the Federal Acquisition Service, but we developed that as a pilot. Government, similar to the situation we talked about with the financial management, you had a different travel management system for every government agency in town, so now we have 3, and they're commercial vendors. We talked about the federal asset sales. That's been a great success for us. We have a motor vehicle registration system that we put in for the federal government because, if you get pulled over, somebody can look up your license, but not so yet with the federal government, but we're working on that. Some of the work we've done in aircraft safety we're very proud of. The work that we've done with the federal real property inventory to support the real property asset management initiative that was kicked off by Executive Order 13327. And the performance measures and the feedback that we've gotten, and the right sizing of the federal inventory that's occurred as a result of that, and various other things. The thing about a culture of innovation is, and we do have a culture of innovation at OGP, is people get very excited and very motivated, and you're developing something new and it's important and it's innovative, and once it gets developed and successful and it's up and running, people get comfortable with it, and they want to keep running it themselves. But our job is, like I say, if it's a success, move it on somewhere else into its operational phase, and then move on to the next thing. So, if you're busy holding on to what you've already innovated, you can't innovate something else. So it's sometimes a difficult management decision to wean people off of things. But if I don't do that, then there'll be no further innovation.
There is certainly a life cycle there. So, Stan, you've mentioned ERMCO now a few times, and I understand that you've held the 48th annual ERMCO conference. What was the theme of this year's conference, and how does the conference promote partnerships, facilitate dialogues, and motivate collaborations across multiple disciplines and communities, both within and outside the government?
Well, we had a good opportunity this spring in ERMCO. ERMCO was sold out. ERMCO is held in April. We had a new administration come in January, and we had a theme of transformational leadership steering a new course. So we were fortunate to get some of the new administration people, such as Vivek Kundra and Beth Novak, to come speak. So there was a lot of interest, obviously, in hearing what the new direction is. But ERMCO is the Interagency Resources Management Conference and pulls together what we call the CXOs in the government, the CFOs, CIOs, Chief Acquisition Officers, the CHICOs, the Human Capital Officers, and this year some of the Inspector Generals also. Pulls together the senior leaders of the government to share information, learn about best practices, and hear about policy directions both from us and from the administration officials. This year, like I say, there was a lot of interest in the new directions that are coming, particularly in the IT area, but actually across the government and acquisition reform and things of that nature.
Are there other conferences or workshops in policy areas that you host?
Yes, there are, particularly in the area of our biggest office is the Office of Travel, Transportation, and Asset Management. They have responsibility for about 7 different administrative programs. I mentioned FedFleet. We do the policy, the government's policy for fleet management, and that's both in terms of the automotive fleet and the aviation fleet. So FedFleet is a big conference, thousands of people. This year's conference is going to be held from July 28th to 30th in Chicago, and it is really the premier event for fleet management in the government. It offers training courses and networking opportunities and the opportunity to learn from vendors and to exchange best practices within the government and with the private sector. It really is a unique opportunity. We also hold a mail forum every year, and we just recently held one this spring. In the GSA mail forum, some of the subjects we discussed were intelligent mail, digital mail, green mail, and mail security. Now, mail management may not sound very sexy, but in 2001, after the anthrax attacks, mail security was a big issue and continues to be so. So we continue to hold that conference every year. Every 2 years, we hold the National Travel Forum because we do the government's travel policy. In fact, we're the office that publishes the per diem rates every year, which is always of great interest. And the Travel Forum is another well-attended event.
So with so many programs, how does OGP reward federal agencies for their significant accomplishments and achievements and innovation? And can you give some examples of these awards and perhaps the process involved in achieving these awards?
Sure. Our general areas in doing policy is guidance, there are regulations, there are performance measures, government-wide databases, and best practices. And we determined early on that one of the best ways to find out what the best practices are and to disseminate them among the federal government is to run awards programs. And they're generally set up usually annual programs. You get a panel of independent judges from across the government and the private sector. They review the submissions, and then we annually award, usually with monetary reward associated with it. We have a total of 12 awards programs that we run annually. We have the IRMCO Awards, given out at the IRMCO conference for leadership across leadership in the IT sector. We have the Donald L. Scattleberry Memorial Award, which is in financial management. We run a big financial management conference once a year, and federal financial management professionals get continuing education credits for attending the day-long conference, and that award is given out at the conference. We also have the CIO Council Leadership Awards, which were presented at IRMCO. We have the Bob Baker Fleet Manager of the Year Award, which is presented at FedFleet. We have the Federal Aviation Program and Professional Awards, also presented at FedFleet. In the area of personal property management, which is another one of our policy areas, we have the Miles Romney Award. And we have mail awards and travel and relocation awards. Our longest-running award, I believe, I say with a sense of pride, having come from that office, is the GSA Achievement Award for Real Property Innovation, which has been given out annually since 1997.
Great. What does the future hold for GSA's Office of Government-Wide Policy? We will ask Stan Kesmarczyk, Acting Associate Administrator for the Office of Government-Wide Policy at GSA, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.